Our great friend from the city of Bloomington, the director of public works, is Adam Wason. Hey, my friend, how are you?
Well, you know, Glass, I'm doing all right. It's been a busy few weeks in public works land, but all in all, things are looking up. Things are looking pretty good.
Well, I've seen some headlines, and I figured, well, if you're the one making the headlines, let's pick up the phone and get you here so we can tell everybody in Bloomington what's going on, because we've got multiple things happening right now. Number one, this cleanup effort, I don't think anybody saw. Everybody saw, oh, there's some limbs down. And then you go try to pick up one of the limbs, and it weighs 900 pounds. It's just not as easy as it looks to be on TV. So next thing I know, the Public Works Board is asking for $500,000 to get this cleaned up. So if anybody thinks this was just a little wind that blew through here, well, 50,000-plus people were without a power, and you need 500 grand to just get it started to get it cleaned up. Tell us where we are in this process, my friend.
Well, you know, first and foremost, Glass, just thanks to the entire community and all of our friends in public safety, emergency services, all the things, you know, for such a big storm, you know, we've been able to say out loud, storm, no death related to the storm. So first and foremost, that's the biggest key factor in all of this is, you know, everybody had struggles with power out and people had health issues and things related to that. From the storm itself, we didn't have any major injury or death, so that's huge. But the recovery is big. So we're, like you said, we've asked for $500,000 in emergency purchasing authority for the debris cleanup. Whether or not that'll be enough is a question to be determined. But we're, you know, we're in a full kind of recovery mode right now, and it's going well, but still a lot of work to do.
All right, so what's going on right now is simply this. If you can haul your stuff and you're a city resident, that's very important, every day between, 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. down at the old Lower Cascades ball fields, you can physically drop off your stuff there. Do I have that right? That's going to continue for a little bit longer?
Yep, we closed that down. We thought we were going to close that down last week, but then realizing the amount of debris still on the ground, we're keeping that open as long as we're going to continue to utilize it for the next few weeks. So that would be one of the biggest things residents could do to guarantee that their debris is no longer at their yard is to deliver it there themselves, you know, via trailer or truck or anything like that. As far as curbside pickup, you know, we've had something like 2,000 addresses across the city let us know they had debris to be picked up. So we had all those addresses submitted, some of them multiple times, some of them under different categories. So we did have to shut that online submittal down. We're doing more of a traditional grid pattern, and we've been through a lot of neighborhoods once already. So we saw that the hardest hit areas started on the west side in the Van Buren neighborhood that's outside of city limits, kind of carried across the south side with like a straight path. And so focused our initial efforts through that area, and then we've moved across the whole city. I got a report earlier today that we're about 80% to 90% through with a.
Oh no, where'd Adam go? Come back.
Oops, sorry, did I lose you?
Yeah, you did. Now you're back. Okay, 80% to 90%.
Yeah, about 80% to 90% with a first pass through the whole city, and then you know, the struggle we're having is. And it's why we started a week after the storm. We waited almost a full 2 weeks before we started pickup was, you know, we've got folks bringing their second and third and fourth loads out to the street front as they've had time. And we can't guarantee we're going to be getting back multiple times to the same addresses. We've just got a lot of work to still do. We're trying to make two passes, but again, time and resources are going to somewhat limit that, but we are doing our best. And as I explained to the deputy mayor the other day, you know, situations like this, you don't know what the end is until you're done.
Well, that's it. Now, the other question everybody has is, who are the folks that are doing this? Are these hired contractors? Are they city employees? A little combination of both?
Combination, yeah.
Okay, and the money obviously goes for trucks and removal and wood chip. I don't know. Tell us what that does.
So the contract, the emergency purchase contract that the Board of Public Works approved was for Williams Tree Service out of the Martinsville Paragon area up there, just our neighbors to the north. They had a lot of experience with FEMA recovery efforts like this, so they were a partner that was available, and so they've been tremendous. Danny Williams and his crew, so big shout out to them. And then supplementing that with City Cruise as well. The dilemma we got into is our street division is in the busiest part of their paving season right now, and so we had to make a calculated decision here to say, you know, we need to seek contracted services for this removal instead of having our crew spend a month, month and a half of their time when they should be paving, picking up, you know, instead of paving, they'd be picking up all this tree debris. And so we can't lose out on that paving season. We need to keep continuing to improve the condition of our roadways. And so that was why we really needed that outside help. But we have on the been offering overtime to any of our crews on the weekends and et cetera to assist, and they've been taking us up on that. Our crews on Friday, today alone this week did something like 4 loads of triaxle dump trucks worth of pickup. So busy time.
It is, and for people that don't understand how big those loads are, right? It's a week's worth. It's 5 days worth. That's a lot. You mentioned FEMA there. Do we get any help from the federal government? Are we declared a disaster area? Can they pay us back for some of this work that we're trying to get done?
So that's a two-part answer. Depending on the entire amount of damage statewide in the public realm or the nonprofit utility realm, there's some estimates that we need to reach about $15 million in damages statewide from that one event to rise up to the full FEMA level of reimbursement. If we don't get to that level, and so a FEMA reimbursement level looks at probably 60 to 75 cents on the dollar for disaster-related recovery costs. If we don't rise to that statewide level, we'll fall under state disaster relief funds through the Indiana Department of Homeland Security. Those are reimbursed at lower rates, probably 35 to 50 cents on the dollar of costs. But those reimbursements don't come quickly, and there's a lot of documentation, paperwork, everything else that goes into that. So we've got some really dedicated staff down at our street division. Dana Workman in particular, shout out to her. She's been through this before, and she's got the systems down. And so tracking every dollar we spend. So, you know, I've spent probably 50 to 60% of my time since June 25th on this issue alone. Those costs need to be included in that total of that statewide threshold, and we need to capture all those. And it's a tremendous effort, but one sure we get reimbursed at the highest levels possible.
Now, the other point of, I don't want to say contention, but curiosity, why a Martinsville crew? Well, what I opined on air was because every other single crew in Bloomington was already busy doing something. That would be one of my yeah. answers to that, because Martinsville didn't have any damage. Those guys have free time up there to come down and help. What is the genesis behind that?
Yeah, no, exactly. We've got great partners with several of the local tree services, Bluestone, amongst the many others that do contracted work for the city of Bloomington. In an instance like this, we were looking to see who could mobilize quickly and who could mobilize with the necessary equipment and crews to really start making an impact on this recovery effort. Williams Tree Service, as I mentioned, they've been through. Williams has been around for many, many years, but one of the things they do specialize in is disaster recovery, where they're able to send in. On that first Monday when they were in Bloomington, they had 32 crew members here that morning working. They had 4 of the largest grapple loader trucks ready to go. And so, you know, we would have loved if a local company would have been able to handle all that. And some of them in combination probably could have, but they were also doing a lot of private contracted work with the trees down on private property. And so I'd also say, you know, up there just 20 miles to the north isn't too far from local.
No, it's not. Not with the new highway either. It's not. It's more connected right. than ever. Adam Wason, Department of Public Works Director, joining us today. We'll talk about the Frank Southern Ice Arena here in a minute. But in the grand scheme of things, and I know this is an impossible question to answer, how often will you review this and say, one more month, one more week, one more day, because it just seems like it's the never-ending story of branches and uproots and trees and sticks and everything else. How far can we go with this? Is it a monetary issue? Is it, hey, we'll see at the end of fall when paving season's over? Who puts that final decision together?
Now, you know, Glass, we're hoping that by the end of next week we've made we've gotten to a point where we've been by every household once. We've been through the hardest hit areas at least twice. We're expecting that the contracted service will end, and sometime next week, hopefully towards the end of the week, depending on resources and dollars available. But, if we've already been and picked up from a residence once and gotten a one large load, it's not a guarantee we're going to be back a second or a third time. That whole grid pattern, hoping to make a second pass. A lot of folks reporting duplicate addresses and, reporting through different channels. So, we're trying to keep after it all, but this won't just be continual and endless pickup. It will have an end date, and it'll probably be towards the end of next week.
Okay, well, there you have it, folks. So a lot of this is unlucky. If there was a magical pot of money in the backyard, we just reach into it and grab more and just do it till it's all gone. It doesn't work that way. What is the city's responsibility, Adam Wason, in a situation like this? Did you have to pick up any of it? Did you just have to get it out of the right of way? The governmental side of things is one thing, but being a good neighbor, it seems like you're going above and beyond the call of duty from my point of view. What's the right angle here?
Yeah, so FEMA is going to recommend that we help single-family residences. You know, as part of their recovery efforts, they would say, assist those single-family residents with their recovery efforts. We're not focused on large apartment complexes. We're not focused on commercial locations. We're not focused on religious or education institutions. We're focused on our pickup being, single-family households that, are the residents of the city of Bloomington that are, most impacted on the direct level. Not to say businesses, apartment complexes, religious institutions, others aren't important and don't need assistance. It's just we can't focus our efforts there. We've got to really focus our effort on those residents and those individual households.
It makes sense. Now, here's a creative angle. I don't know if it can or cannot work, and I know I can't be the only person that's thought of this. In the fall, you go around and you pick up stuff and you say, hey, if you'd like to get rid of this, we'll charge you this to get rid of it or do that. Could that be a part of this moving forward as well, where, hey, if you put something out in a yard waste bag or something, we'll pick it up, but we just have to charge you for the service we provide?
Yeah, we're still continuing with our traditional yard waste pickup program through the sanitation division. So, your bag debris that's in the brown paper bags from Lowe's or Menards, that's still going to be picked up as part of your regular sanitation pickups. The bundles of sticks that meet the dimensions, which I can't recall exactly off the top of my head, I think it's 3 or 4 feet long. No more than 2 feet wide. If they're bundled up with some twine, those will still get picked up as part of your normal sanitation schedules. What I can't guarantee is that if, somebody couldn't get a contractor out until September to take down that big tree in their backyard and they finally get it out to the curb, that's not what we're going to be able to pick up this fall.
Yeah, it's not a wood chipper, right?
That's a little different.
So you want to go on halvesies and get a wood chipper and just drive around and see what see what you can stir up? It's not that easy. You can't pick the stuff up. That's the other part of this. People just see a pile of sticks and they think, oh, it's just a pile. It's only up to my waist. Well, when every piece of the pile weighs 200 pounds, that's a little different.
Yeah, and I recommend any resident that's taking a bike ride through Lower Cascades or, a little – afternoon stroll, go take a look at the pile north of the ball fields up there, and you'll see the amount of effort and work going into this. It is significant, and that pile is large.
Is the city selling mulch next spring? Is that true?
Well, okay, so what we're working on is a plan. I think we have too much material to offer it all for free mulch, but I think Bluestone's going to come through and do a grind and haul away this first load, and then what we bring in this next week, we're probably going to offer a second to get good mulch, you got to do two grinds.
Okay.
But what we're going to do is probably pay a little extra on some of the
Well, you got it.
And allow public pickup, you know. It's
just to get rid of
free mulch would go. Yep, exactly. So we're working on it.
That would work. But you have to pick up your own mulch. We will not deliver it for you. You see how this patterns work. Hey, free parking every Friday after 5 o'clock on the streets and every Saturday after 6 o'clock on the streets. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Yep, both days after 5, Fridays and Saturdays. Just a little something trying to generate some more business. You know, we did get a little feedback on that one from the retailer saying, hey, you know, that doesn't help us during the day when we're, you know, in prime retail, something we probably didn't think about hard enough there. But, you know, one of those efforts just to drum up a little effort, extra business in the downtown to make up for maybe the lack of students that are here all summer long that may have used to been here, or, you know, just try that tide of the slower summer months until we get everybody back in August. So something we tried to do, and so far, pretty good feedback and positive reception from those that are taking advantage.
This Friday and Saturday will be the final Friday and Saturday of such a great promotion, so please take advantage of it. Okay, you talked about your paving crews. I'll let you get back to work here in a minute. What needs to be done? What other big projects do we have? It looks like we're splitting the lanes at 17th and Walnut Street, doing that, 17th Street going west. What else is on the books that you'd like to have done by the time the students get back or by the end of paving season?
Yeah, so we're still in the throes of major construction. We've got a big project on West 3rd Street coming up, repaving. We just awarded that bid last week. That'll be repaving from Patterson all the way out to Franklin near I-69. You know, the big culvert project there, Hidden River, Clear Creek culvert project there right by the University of Indiana. With those delays, that's going to lead into past the students. When the students return, they're hopeful to get a lane open in late August, but that'll still be a little hairy down there. You know, a lot still going on. You try to pack everything into the summer. You know, the bypass is still going to be going into August for sure with that big NDOT project. So, you know, it's everybody wants everything done in June and July, but you just can't fit it all in. So,
no, you can't.
There will be impacts. There will be impacts into the school year, but, you know, all in the name of good new infrastructure and investing in the city that we all call home. So
I got one more. Indiana Avenue project. We're throwing stuff against the board and seeing what sticks, whether it's keeping it one way with two-way bike lanes, whether we revert to two-way traffic on Indiana Avenue. There's another meeting coming up in August. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's being led by our planning and transportation department. So I'm not firsthand knowledge here, one that can give you all the details on that, but that's planning and transportation. I know they've got information on the city's website about the next public process. And yeah, they're looking at some major changes there and highly recommend anyone that's got something to offer there to provide that opinion and hopefully get a project that's in the best of the community's interest for the long term.
Yeah, and safety is the key to that with the massive.
Indiana's a high-ranking injury corridor right there, and you think of the thousands and thousands of people that cross Indiana. You know, so it needs something, and what's going to be the right thing long term is what we're trying to figure out.
And it's not always as easy as just putting a sign up and saying stop and do this. It doesn't always work that way. Great job, buddy. Appreciate all the hard work from you and your crew and everybody else at City Hall. That's they don't call it a disaster because everything works out on the timeline everybody wants it to. So as you mentioned accurately, thank goodness there are no lives lost or any serious injuries. We can be patient getting pesky trees and woods and sticks out of here, but you can rebuild roofs and carports and things of the such, but you can't, hard to do with human lives. So that's, we're very lucky that way. And FEMA is here, or not FEMA, the SBA is at Frank Southern. Is that the city have anything to do with that? That's a federal program. What's happening there?
You know, we're just offering up some space to Frank Southern and all those details and such. I will come through the Small Business Administration and SBA loan services and such, but an effort for getting some extra resources into the community at a low cost to try to recover.
And you can go to the Monroe County Emergency Management page, do that on social media or on the internet, and you can see all the times and what is being provided in part and parcel over at Frank Southern throughout the week. All right, buddy, great job. Thank you so much for your time. It's greatly appreciated. If anything else pops up that that catches us by surprise, give us a call back and we'll get it out there to the folks.
Always happy to, friend. Take care of yourself, and thanks so much.